Well, I came to the town in September 1956, and by 1957, that following summer, I was a playing member of the club. By the following summer, 1958, I was a secretary. Played, was an active member, playing until the round about 1976. Time, we had two 11s, which played on Saturdays and Sunday. We also had a Wednesday 11, because there was a thing called early closing on Wednesdays to give the poor shopkeepers a rest, because they opened all day on Saturdays and not at all on Sundays. But the two 11s were played mainly, of course, at Digsall Park, and the Wednesday 11 played wherever it could. We had an arrangement later when we used the cricket square of the Monk's Walk School. But over that period, it was certainly all based on Digsall Park.
Mm-hmm. I think I've heard of a Wednesday evening league.
I think it was tried, yes.
I don't know how long it ran, but I think it was at the King George V playing field.
Yes,
sometimes
it would have been at KG5. Mm. I think that's true. I didn't have much to do with it. I think I wouldn't say they were regarded as the pits, but it was a lower standard of cricket. there were always the nearest and dearest of the players, of course, and it was always expected. I'm going to be a little. No, I shan't be. It was always expected that the ladies who accompanied the fellas would make tea. It was a cricket tradition, which was very hard to break. Occasionally, one or other of the ladies would go on strike or make protests about this discrimination. But in general, we had a working relationship with our wives, which indicated that we very much appreciated their efforts in keeping us well fed. And of course, if we had an all-day match on a Sunday, which often happened, then lunch would be provided sometimes by some of the ladies. But in general, I think we provided our own lunch. But of course, it was our wives and dearest partners who made it. The governing body was the General Management Committee, with a chairman elected by the committee, a general secretary, a treasurer, and an auditor, as you might expect, plus half a dozen, eight other members. They didn't have to be playing members. In fact, it was seen to be useful to have a non-playing member or two, because they saw the club from a different angle. That worked pretty well. And I recall that we used to have meetings here and in other people's houses as well. When I was the General Secretary, I took the minutes and wrote them out laboriously, longhand. Today we would be tapping it out on a keyboard, of course, or even dictating it into a machine. The general purposes, the general committee made all necessary decisions relating to the governance of the club and to do with the ground and employment of, well, a bar manager, for lack of a better word, and a groundsman. They were only part-time, and really, they weren't salaried, it was just a payment. And there were two stalwarts who we had at that time in those positions. The groundsman was a crusty old fellow called Yorkie Mitchell. He lived in Welwyn. Yorkie had been there since the 17th century. And he was the archetypal Yorkshireman. He never saw anything good around the ground, and he was always complaining, but he was a gem, an absolute gem at giving us a pitch and a wicket which was not dangerous, which was excellent for cricket, and he always ensured that the outfield was mown properly so that it looked like a proper cricket ground. And it did. I think on a Sunday, with children playing around and families picnicking and the cricket going on but nobody taking any notice of it, it was a delightful place to be, a family centre, as it were. So that was Yorkie. I struck up a good relationship with Yorkie because I always told him, or mentioned to him, how much I appreciated, as secretary later, how much I appreciated the work that he did. And stroking Yorkie was the thing to do if you wanted to get along with him. So that was great. I think I should talk about the original pavilion that I found when I got there.
Yes, the facilities. Do please describe
Unfortunately,
those.
And I haven't got a picture of it, because, again, no photograph of it that I know. It was the most dismal, untidy, scruffy, burnable building that I've ever come across. It had been there since, I think, before the Romans landed, and it consisted basically of two rooms, I'll call it rooms, and a toilet, and I'll call it a toilet. It was quite small. I think that each one of those rooms was not bigger than this room, and that doesn't help on this, does it? But giving, 4 yards by three, that sort of size. And it was made of wood, obviously, with a felted roof, and two holes in each of the walls facing onto the cricket pitch, which were deemed to be windows, and which got broken with great regularity almost every weekend because the place was not guarded and there were lots of children always playing around. So it was a hugely scruffy place, which we all loved immensely. There was a bar, which was a cupboard, and inevitably the bar steward, the barman, sold warm beer. That was the atmosphere, that was the ambience that we enjoyed at the club. The business of the pavilion, as it was grandly called, and in the front there was a covered area and a veranda, which, if you were lucky, you got a deck chair there and you sat there if it rained a bit. But the guy who ran all of this was a guy called Sid Kybert. And he lived in Parkway, in one of the small houses to the south end of Parkway. Now, Sid was of a similar nature to Yorkie, but I don't know where he came from. In fact, I don't think anybody ever found out where he came from. I think he just appeared one day, and there he was. And so he became the barman. He was the barman when I got there, and he went on even until we replaced the pavilion by the Rice Memorial Pavilion around about 1967, but more about that later. Anyway, Sid continued to charge us all exorbitant prices. No, he didn't, because it was the committee that decided the prices of the beer, and we always tried to get discounts from the brewers. The place was lit by gas. and was regularly torched by the youngsters of the district. It was quite surprising, and yet we've not got a single photograph of that place. I've never thought of it in such loving terms before. So those are the two stalwarts, Yorkie Mitchell and Sid Kyburn, upon whom the club rested. The opportunity to get out the heavy roller during the week was never lost, because under instruction from Yorkie, obviously, he would say, "Well, thou would never roll it too much." You know, never. So one of the things that we did regularly in the evenings when we got along there was to take the roller, and half a dozen of us would roll it up and down. And it was heavy. I don't know what it weighed, but it was hard work. So there was a lot of self-help, obviously, around the whole club. We did get a grant from the council and the Newtowns Commission, or I think they had it, one handed on to the other. I think it was the council originally, and then the Newtowns Commission. Council having declared Dixall Park to be a play space, and therefore never to be built on, the Newtowns Commission then took very little interest in the place because they'd done what they had to do. But I do recall the morning when I got a letter from the Development Corporation, not through Newtowns Commission, the Development Corporation, notifying me as secretary of the club that they had plans to build houses all the way around Dixall Park, but not on it. Although they wouldn't, under pressure from me and others, they wouldn't actually say that it would never be built. They could only say that it is likely that. So that was a bad time, and the committee took fright. But I did explain that I thought it was an opportunity rather than a threat, because I didn't think the Development Corporation would ever actually build on a cricket ground that had been designated and was public open space. So, therefore, those houses would contain people who might come and have a drink in our magnificent pavilion, or become members. We had social members as well. So that was okay. That story went down okay, and we did get quite a number of members from those houses in Knightsfield and, what's it called? Monk's Rise.